I need to give you a hard time, so. Let's pray together one more time. Our Father, which art in heaven, we stop, Father, in the next few minutes to praise and honor your holy name, Father. Father, we pray that your kingdom come. We pray, Father, that your will be done in our lives, Father. We continue to pray, Father, that you teach us how to forgive one another so we may be forgiven by you, Father. Father, you have asked us to love our enemies, to pray for them, to bless them. And Father, being a Christian, it's not as easy sometimes as we might think it is. So humbly we come before your throne of grace. Humbly we bless your word, Father. Humbly we ask that you be here with us. So may the words that we hear today, Father, come and feed our souls, our minds, our hearts, and help us to have an amazing and wonderful Christian journey with you from this point on. Father, once again, bless Chase and his family. Bless all our graduates. They're doing so much. They're working so hard. And we pray for their families, for La Sierra Academy, for the amazing things they have been doing in the lives of these children, and also for those that are in public schools as well, Father. May you continue to bless them. May we continue to see amazing things in their future to come. And Father, now that we open your word one more time, may we be blessed. May our hearts be transformed. May our lives reflect the character of Jesus and your kingdom. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Mark chapter 3, verse 30 to 44. We already read this Bible text, but it says here, for those looking, Mark chapter 3, chapter 6, 30 through 44, it says that the apostles, they gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and everything that they were teaching. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, so he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was already late in the day. So the disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. So they said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much money on bread and give it to them to eat? So how many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to the heavens, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of the man who had eaten was 5,000. What an amazing passage that we encounter today in God's Word. Reading this passage right away, the first thing that comes and that came out to my mind was, you give them something to eat. You see, that is interesting that Jesus is going on a course preaching probably all day long to the point that even the disciples and Jesus, they go to the point of saying, it's already getting late. Have you ever had a preach like that, a preacher like that? But don't point. Sometimes we preachers, we go on and on and on and on. And even Pastor Gary told me one day, he said, I got to teach you how to land your plane, if you understand what I mean. Jesus is going on and on and on and on. Even to the point that the apostles now, they are concerned. Another thing that is very interesting, in my opinion, is that they are in a deserted place, a desert, in the wilderness. There is nothing there, probably no trees or anything that they can eat. No fruits, nothing. And now the apostles are concerned because there is a multitude of people. God knows how many people are there. One of the gospel writers say 5,000 people. The other gospel writer says 5,000 people, not counting men and women. Another gospel writer said, it was more than 5,000 people sitting, watching, listening to Jesus, following Jesus everywhere he would go. A multitude of people that now the disciples are afraid they are going to have to be the ones feeding them. Have you ever been in a situation like that? You invite some people for dinner, over for dinner, and then more people start coming. Maybe you don't understand this. If you are a Brazilian, you understand exactly what I'm saying. You don't have to send invitations for parties or anything. When they're here, there's a party, they start showing up. Because we're all friends. It's all okay. I've been in a situation like that one time that a Brazilian friend of mine, she's more like Americanized than anything else, she had a birthday coming up, and then what was I to do? Prepare her a birthday party, a surprise birthday party at her house. What were we, the Brazilians, to do? We just show up. And sure enough, she had some of her American friends coming in, a boyfriend, and people start coming up. More and more and more and more people crowding that little apartment, the little room, the little living room that she lived in. To the point that she got so mad, what in the world are we going to do? Did you invite all these people? I said, no, I didn't. Somebody ran to the kitchen and she had pasta for her birthday. It was a little supplement on the side so everybody could eat. Have you been in a situation like that where food is running out? Have you been in a situation where you have invited people to your house? Or you have gone to a place where there's not enough food? And what have you done? Did you pray to God? Lord Jesus, I remember that sermon Pastor Gilbert preached. We're going to pray for the food now and you multiply, Lord. In the Portuguese, in a Brazilian community, we talk about adding more water into the beans. And that's what we do sometimes. You feed them, Jesus told his disciples. And today, the very first lesson that I think we all should learn here from this text is that we, as elders, as deacons, as Christians, Seventh-day Adventists, as church believers and Christians that attend church and love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's our responsibility to feed those who come to us. It's our responsibility to share with those that Jesus is the bread of life. And I believe that this is another crucial point in this story. I do believe with all my heart that Jesus was trying to tell them that not only he was going to provide bread for the multitude of people that was following him, that Jesus was wanting to show them that he was the manna. He was the living bread of God that came to this world to feed all of those hunger. Have you had your portion of the bread of life today? If you understand what I'm saying, say amen. Now turn to the person sitting close to you and say, did you understand what he said? Now if you did, you have to turn to the other person and say, explain to them what it is. What in the world does it mean to be fed daily by the word of God through the bread of life? What does that mean? Can somebody shout it out? Nobody knows? Somebody please? There is one person. What is that? Daily worship with God. Daily devotion. Anybody else? What does it mean to daily eat the bread of life that is Christ Jesus? Anybody else? Somebody said it. I heard it. What is that? Seek the kingdom of God. Is that what you said? It's hard to hear from here. But reading scriptures every day, praying, having your devotionals, reading the Word of God, praying, talking to other people. Everywhere you go, as you drive your car, as you are going shopping or something, talk about the Word of God with your family, with your little ones. Memorize Psalms and Scripture and pour those words into your family, into your little ones. Share with people. We talk about so many things on a daily basis. How many times have you quoted a Bible text lately when you're having a conversation with someone? Feed them, Jesus said. And Jesus is the bread of life. I would like to invite you to read with me an incredible Bible text in the book of Exodus chapter 16. The second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus chapter 16. Let's read a few verses here together. If you have your Bibles there in front of you, Exodus chapter 16. Look at this amazing story. It says here that the whole congregation of the Israelites, they set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. Verse 2, the whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pot and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instructions or not. Verse 5, on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gathered on other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all Israelites, in the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us? And Moses said, when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord. What an interesting contrast and comparison between Exodus 16 and this story found in the Gospel of Mark. Here again, there is a multitude of people. The Gospel of Mark even goes to the extent of saying they look like sheep without their shepherd. They look hopeless. Maybe Jesus saw that they have not had anything to eat in a long time. If you go into the Gospel of Matthew, you will find out that even the devil, when Jesus is in the wilderness, he tempts Jesus, make this bread into bread. But Jesus tells them, you shall not live by bread alone, but what? With every word that comes from the mouth of God. How interesting that now in the wilderness, again, with a multitude of people, when they are going hungry, Jesus himself performs a miracle and is able to help the entire multitude. What an interesting Bible text. I remember not long ago in our young adults Bible study that happens every Tuesday at the Fenningers, we were talking and reading some books, and we read a huge variety of different kinds of books. And we read a book that was really compelling us to start doing something. And I remember when I was reading that book, it's called An Irresistible Revolution. As I was reading that book, something told me, maybe our conversation with our young adults, something told me that I had to go to the park and see how the homeless people were doing. And I just stopped by the park, and when I realized, I was already walking around trying to have a conversation with some of the homeless people there. I was scared to death, not knowing anybody, not being able to ask if they have any needs. But thank God, one of the ladies there just came in, and she introduced herself to me. She saw that I was browsing around, and then we start having a conversation. And little by little, we start talking and bringing people to the park so we could bring some food to them. One of our ideas was to buy pizza and take it to them. But then we start running into some little details. Somebody came to us and they said, "I heard that you're feeding the homeless at the park." I said, "We are." And they said, "Did you know that it's illegal in the city of Corona?" And then somebody else came to us and they said, "Are you doing that on the Sabbath?" I already knew what was coming up. And I said, "Yes, we do." And they're saying, "Are you buying on the Sabbath?" And somebody else came to us and they said, "Oh, what kind of pizza are you feeding them? I hope you're not bringing pepperoni pizza to them." You feed them. And to be very honest with you, we start running into so many conversations and so many difficulties that we ended up stop visiting the homeless people in the local park. Are we supposed to feed the people? I'll never forget one day we were there and a little girl, I think she was 16, she was talking, I believe it was with Greg, our elder, and she was hiding a little bit away, and I started thinking maybe she's afraid of us, of what in the world do we want from her and from her family. I remember talking to another person and they said, "Sometimes they bring the horses out." And I said, "The horses?" They said, "Yeah, because we have also a curfew here at the city of Corona and they just drive us out." And I was like, wow, that's the book of Revelation all over the place. God's people being oppressed, kicked out of the parks. And I understand there's a lot going on there. Drugs, people dealing drugs and prostitution. And this is something that is not something easy that our community can solve. But we had to stop doing it. You know, yesterday I went to Mexicali with my daughter, and sometimes we do these little road trips. And I was talking to my daughter about the message today. And I said, "Gabby, I have to preach a sermon tomorrow. I've been studying this." And she said, "I can help you." First thing she did was to take a selfie and post on Facebook, "Selfie and helping my dad with his sermon." It's a beautiful picture. And then the first thing I did was, how in the world am I going to convey this message to a young lady, 11-year-old young lady? And then the first thing I told her was, let's start reading through the Gospels. Matthew has a story. The Gospel of Mark also has the same story. The Gospel of Luke also has the same story. And the Gospel of John. And sure enough, as soon as she moved from Matthew to Mark, she was like, "Ah, there's some differences here, Daddy. Did you pick that up?" He's like, "No, I didn't." So we start writing it down, some of the differences. And then she started reading the Gospel of Matthew, and then the Gospel of Luke. And sure enough, we spent a long, long time. And she started bringing all her colors, different pens. She started writing the different things that you can find in the Gospels, and the different stories, and the different nuances in the Gospel. And we had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time on the road talking about God. But then I look at Gabby and I said, "Gabby, let's try finding some major points in this story that will be a blessing for everybody." And the first thing that we found was this text. Here is a boy. This is John's account. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many people? And I know I couldn't get a better picture, but there's more fish there than the Bible says. I saw that. And there's only 4 bread there. But what we found out is that so many amazing things in this passage. And now only the Gospel of John goes to the extent of saying There was a little boy. There was a young kid. And this young kid, he brought his lunch to Jesus. I'm not sure if you understand what I'm trying to say here. So many times, even the Gospels themselves, they say, there were 5,000 men, no children and women allowed. They're not counted. But the Gospel of John goes to the extent of saying that there was a little boy. And because of what this little boy gives Jesus, Jesus is able to perform one of the powerful, most powerful miracles recorded in our New Testament. Jesus is able to feed a multitude of people from a couple fish and a few loaves of bread. Let's see if I can illustrate this to you. I'm not sure if you can read it there. I'm going to just give you some remarks here. This is from the Mother Nature Network website. And this website, it talks about 8 amazing, outstanding kids that have literally changed the world. And talking with Gabby, among all these 8 little children, she said, I think you should share this one. This one is the most beautiful one. This is Alexandra Alex Scott. Alex, she was born in Connecticut and she was diagnosed with neuroblastoma. It's a type of childhood cancer. And that they discovered this shortly after she was 1 year old. In 2000, just after turning 4 years old, she informed her mother that she wanted to start a lemonade stand to raise money for the doctors to help other kids like they helped her. Her first lemonade stand raised $2,000 and led to the creation of the Alexis Lemonade Stand Foundation. Alex continued her lemonade stand throughout her life, and ultimately, this young lady that started at the age of 4, she was able to raise over $1 million toward cancer research. Little Alex passed away in August of 2004 at the age of 8. And today, her lemonade stand sponsors a national fundraising weekend every June that is called the Lemonade Days. Each year, as many as 10,000 volunteers at more than 2,000 lemonade stands around the nation make a difference for children with cancer. Just a little boy with a sack lunch. He's able to bless Jesus. He's able to bless that multitude of people that were standing there going hungry. Even the disciples said, send them away. But Jesus said, what do you have to give them? Or you feed them. This is Marcia. She's 94 years old. She's a member and a resident of Valencia Terrace. She's a good friend. And Marcia, one day, along with a couple other people, they start coming to me on a Sunday morning. We're there every Sunday morning for the last 4 years, I believe. We're there giving them a Sunday worship service, so most of them cannot go to church. So recently, they start coming to me and wanting to give me money. And I said, well, I heard that there's 2 things that pastor cannot touch, and one of them is money. And I said, I cannot receive this. And they said, we want to give you. There was a doctor there, a wealthy doctor. I think he went with 20s and 100s, and he's always giving money to people. And I was like, I don't want to get in trouble. I said, I cannot take your money. I will never take this money. If you want to, put in an envelope, give to Karen, and send it to church if you want to. So Marcia had this brilliant idea. She said, why don't we collect an offering and give it to the settlement house here in Corona? And every Sunday, you see some people putting a couple dollars there, sometimes 20, sometimes $5. And this was the offering that they had last year, before the end of the year, this December. They had almost $1,500 for the whole year that they collected, and they brought faithfully to the settlement house. And this was not only that. they start making some blankets and some other things, and they said that when they had a party at Valencia Terrace, they were also able to sell those little blankets and little different things that they did, and they were able to fundraise almost another $1,000 to help the settlement house. This lady is 94 years old. Her son, almost every Sunday, anywhere in the nation that they will have marathons, half marathons, especially helping hospitals and little kids, he will be there running, contributing, helping, financing, giving money to help little children. Marcia started at the age of 94 a ministry at Valencia Terrace called Angels. And you know what she does with a group of other women, some other women? They do chores for other women that are not able to move and are not as capable as she is physically. At the age of 94, an amazing, amazing lady. Another thing that I want to share with you is a story of Tia Carmen. She is a faithful Catholic. And last time I went to Brazil, I talked to her, and she was saying how faithful she is as a Catholic lady. And one day she said, oh, I give my tithe and offering to the church. And I said, it's a good thing for you to do. And one day she mentioned how much money she was giving to the Catholic Church as tithe. And it added up to about $40. And I was like, I don't know if that's a tithe. But in her heart of hearts, she was giving everything she could. And in her heart of hearts, she knew that she was making a difference for her church, for her community. And I thought to myself, what a beautiful lesson. Not long ago, we were talking with our elders, and we're talking about how many people really give and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes our church, we have our ups and downs. It's an amazing church. We have very faithful people here. But what we're talking about was, if we had people that would give just a little more, $20 a month, $100 a month, we would not sometimes be in the problems that we are sometimes. But I'm afraid that sometimes people don't give because they cannot give a full tithe or a full offering. But here today, we're learning from this story that even with the little that we can give, we can make a huge difference in this world. We can make a huge difference in this community. And we can make a huge difference even in this church. As I was telling and talking to Gabby, another thing that Gabby told me was, how interesting that they collected 12 baskets, Daddy. And I said, what does that mean, Gabby? She said, well, Jesus wanted every single one of them to put their hands on the basket. If you think about this, every single one of us should be the ones carrying baskets to help other people in our community. Some of us can help financially. Some others can help in many different ways as serving and ministering to other people. One for each of the disciples to carry. This is what we learn. I'm going to move a little bit faster here for the sake of time. But one thing that I thought it was kind of interesting here is that the miracle that was taking place did not happen through the hands of Jesus. If you read the Bible text carefully, you will see that when Jesus started praying over that bread and over that fish, you don't see them multiplying and going all over the place. I think it's even kind of interesting that, for example, somebody like Peter would come to Jesus and say, that's what we have. And maybe Peter brought that one bread that he was carrying. It's like, how can we feed a multitude of people with this loaf of bread? I can only imagine if you and I we would be there seeing exactly what's happening. And imagine seeing Jesus just breaking that bread in half and giving it back to Peter. And I imagine Peter just looking at that half and saying, now what? How in the world are we going to feed this multitude of people? And the Bible says that as soon as those apostles, as soon as those people start sharing those baskets with other people, the miracle happened through their own hands. And then they were in awe to see what Jesus had done through their own hands. Sometimes we think that whatever it is that we give, little, not much, not big, not strong. Sometimes we think that that little is not seen and it's not appreciated by God. It had to be given away before it was multiplied. This is the last Bible text I want to read with you. And that when I was talking to Gabby about this Bible text, we were in awe learning that Jesus is looking at everything we do. Please come with me to the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, 41 through 44. Look at what it says here, verse 41. It says here in verse 41 that Jesus sat down opposite to the treasury, and he watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, but a poor widow, she came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. And then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she gave out of her poverty, and she has put in everything she had and all she had to live on." What we learn from these texts, what we learn from Scripture, what we learn from these principles is that everything we give the Lord counts. When this poor widow was giving everything she had, a couple little coins that amount to about a penny today, Jesus himself saw it. And another lesson that we learn here today is that everything we give, every time we help other people, I want you to tell you today that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's seeing everything you do. With Gabby, we have sometimes a problem. I'm putting her in the spot too much. That she cannot see homeless people. She goes like, "Daddy, we got to feed them." "I don't have any money." "You got a credit card, don't you?" The other day, we stopped at a gas station. She made me go inside and buy a guy that was begging for food and buy him a Gatorade and a sandwich. The other day, she called me and she saw a little dog on the street and she was crying because nobody was stopping to help the little dog that was ran over and was still alive. That's my daughter. She loves to give. And then finally, I want to share this with you guys. There are many different applications if you read the Gospels. I always have people outside that come and say, "Oh, Pastor Gilbert, you forgot this. Pastor Gilbert, you could have mentioned this. You could have mentioned that." And it's true, but we don't have a lot of time to talk about all these stories. But when you read this same story in the Gospel writer, in the Gospels, I was talking to Gabby, and she said, "Daddy, in the Gospel of Mark, it seems that God wants to feed everybody, and God does not want anybody to go hungry." I said, "Gabby, that's interesting." And I said, "How about the Gospel of Matthew?" She said, "Oh, I like it because it was the shortest text on this story." And she said also, "God is telling us, Daddy, to feed them, to never default back to God. You do what you can." Gabby's also the one that pointed out and said, "Daddy, there are 12 baskets. Jesus wanted the apostles to be a part of that blessing of feeding that multitude of people. We should pick up a basket too, Dad." In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus teaches them about the kingdom of heaven, and Gabby was in awe, and she said, "Maybe this is the most important story, that Jesus took the time, all day long, took the time to teach them one of the most important things, that is, to teach people, to teach others about the kingdom of heaven, and that he was the bread that came from God." In the Gospel of John, even Gabby picked that up. She said, "Daddy, it doesn't say anything about the miracle there. It says it was a sign." So I had to do a little plug-in for my good friend's book, Kendra Holowiak. And I said, "Yes, the Gospel of John doesn't talk about miracles. It talks about signs. Why do you think that?" And then after talking and talking, we realized that a sign is something that points to something greater. A sign is just a remembrance, something to remind you that something greater and something better is coming. Maybe Jesus fed that multitude of people just to give them just another sign, like he walked on water and did so many things, like raised the widow's son, showing that he was greater than Elijah. Maybe Jesus, once again, is just giving them just another sign that he is the bread of life, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God. Gabby also said that if we don't give, God won't be able to multiply. How interesting that sometimes we think that what we have is so little that we cannot help, but even the little that we can give, God can help abundantly. I was in shock the other day to hear that for $20 a month, you can sponsor a kid in some countries like India and so many other kids. $20, you can sponsor a kid to receive Christian education, provide their uniform, and a couple meals a day with $20. You cannot even go to McDonald's today and get a decent meal with your family with that money. If you don't give, God won't multiply. When we were wrapping up, I look at Gabby and I said, Gabby, what do we learn from all this? What is the takeaway message here? What is that one thing that we should commit to our hearts? What is that one thing that we should learn today and apply it in our Christian journey with Christ? And Gabby said, Dad, it seems like in this story, especially from the angle of the Gospel of John and that little boy that appears, it seems that nothing is too small for God to use. And this is the message that I would like to leave it for you today. Nothing is too small for God to use. And I know some of you might be thinking, oh, Pastor Gilbert is talking about money today. And I'm not. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit impresses upon your heart, whatever it is that you can give the Lord, not only financially, not only through also through your gifts and talents, and as you help in different ministries, as you do things for your community, for your family, for the people that are around you, you can always do something that other people will not be able to do. Look at what Alex was able to do to fundraise more than $2 million. A little girl with cancer at the age of 4, just because she had something in her heart that the Lord placed there for her to make it grow and multiply. Nothing is too small for God to use. We see young people here like Chase today graduating, and we have so many others graduating from kindergarten, even from high school. We have so many others graduating from college and with master's degree. And I'm here to tell you today that whatever it is that you know, whatever it is that you can minister to, whatever it is your circle of influence, whether in the hospital, whether at school, whether at church, in your community, whatever it is that God has placed in your heart and God has blessed you to do, I'm here to tell you today, whatever that little that you can give, that you can do for the other people, nothing will ever be too small for God to use. When we were done talking, I asked Gabby, my little one, as we were driving on the freeway, what is that we can do for other people that we will be a blessing for them? Some people are able to speak more than one language. You can teach other people to speak that language. Some people are very good in sport. You can get a group of people and take them to a soccer field and become a coach and help them out. Some people like to work with young children. You can help with VBS. You can help with Pathfinders. And all that you can give will be multiplied by God. And today I would like to leave this message as a very simple and humble message today. Whatever it is that God has placed in your heart, whether financially, whether monetarily, whether through your gifts of service and talents, the story today, from the hands of this little boy's hand, we learned that nothing is too small for God to use. So let's pray together. May the God who longs to feed everyone bless you today with the bread of life that is Christ Jesus, our Savior. May the Lord who appears in the desert, may the Lord who appears in deserted places, some of them even in our own lives, may the Lord appear in those places that even though sometimes have absolutely nothing, He still can bless and bring abundance and multiplication in your life. May the Lord who praised the widow's offering for giving so little but still all that she had, and may He also bless you and bless your humble offerings, whether monetary or whether acts of service and ministry. May the Lord multiply your giving abundantly. And may the Lord, who perform one of the greatest miracles found in scriptures with that little boy's lunch, remind you today that nothing is too small for Him to use and multiply. God bless you.